Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It's Carl, and with me today, I have a very good friend, Garci Inigo. And Garci, I think we first met at Operations Camp in Dallas, way, way back in Deep Ellum. Is that right?
We met even before in PM Summit, in Digital PM Summit.
Oh, that's right. Even before. Yeah. And then you came back later and spoke at the summit.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. So,
And I got you an NBA jersey for it. I still don't know what that was.
Yeah, because I was looking for some NBA socks to wear on the summit.
Oh.
And you got me gently a shirt. So I'm still wearing it here.
Well, hey, you have had a crazy run of career changes over the last several years.
Yeah, that's true.
And when we first met, now you're in Montreal. When we first met, you were part of a shop there. You're very heavy into operations. I know you were at the first three operations camps. And just tell everybody kind of what you did there and kind of the evolution all the way up to where you are today.
So I arrived from Europe 4 years ago in Montreal. I was living in Barcelona. And I decided that the sunny weather of Barcelona was enough for me. So I got to the cold weather of Montreal. I've been working in agencies all my life. I started on the creative part. So I've been art director and then creative director and always in digital shops. So, but with the time, I found it more funny to be more on the operational side of the agency, mainly because I was really interested in how to make people work better together, especially if you take the creatives, how they can talk to the dev team and how the dev team can talk to the creatives and understand each other. So that's what I have been evolving to. So when I came here to Canada, to get your first job is quite hard at the beginning, to get it at the same level that I had it in Europe, because nobody knows you. And even if you drop some big names of agencies in Europe, they say, yeah, but it's not in North America, so start over. So I joined a real small company that's over like 10 people and digital shop of 10 people. And I started as a project manager there. Something I hadn't done never in my life, actually. But if you have run an agency for a while and stuff like that, it's part of the job. So, and I did that for 3 months. And then I had the chance that Cosette called me. Cosette is one of the largest agencies in Canada to run the operations on the digital side. And with that came also, they were in transformation to going to a more lean shop or more an agile way of doing stuff. And that's the things that I've been interesting for the last 10 years. So I start to do both at the same time. So doing an agile transformation in the agency and running operations. That can cause a little bit of madness because you must make decisions sometimes that doesn't make much sense in one way or the other way. So I did that for 3 years. And that was a lot of fun, was a lot of challenges, a lot of stress also. So when the transformation, the first step of the transformation was really done, I was like, say, a little bit tired of that because there was a lot of politics involved in all changements and stuff like that. And so I decided to go to a smaller shop. Like on holidays, where I took over the operations, helped them to grow better because they started real slow, small. They were three founders, and in the last 3 years, they came up to 25 people. So with a lot of challenges and stuff like that. So I did that during 2017. And at the end of last year, I had an offer in the National Bank of Canada to be the coach of the TI shop here in the bank, where we are over 200 people working on everything who's related to digital on the client side.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you start off at a shop of 10 people. Yep. Then you go to Cosette, and that's when we met, I think. And what size was Cosette?
Cosette is in Montreal, it's near 300. And in whole right. Canada, a little bit less than 1,000.
Okay. So that was quite the move. And then you go to the small shop and help them yep. grow. And now you're right back into a large team.
Yeah, so the bank is 22,000 people in Canada.
Wow. And, you know, I've heard great things about the National Bank of Canada from others that have worked there. I had some friends in Vancouver, I think, that were that had worked there for a while. And I know they've moved on and they're doing other things, but they really love their time there. So I'm curious, how is it to come in from the outside?
Yeah, so –
and start coaching a team of a group of 200 who don't know you.
So it's a real good question. it puts you real in a place where you must be observing what's going around. I didn't want to come over in the first place and say, "Hey, this is how things gonna go," because they have been doing their stuff for a while and it's working. The bank also have started a real transformation for the last 4 years. And so only to say I'm not wearing a tie. I have my X-Men t-shirt on today in a bank. So, and that was one of the things that told me that I was in the good place. They have been working in an agile way for the last 3 years. And they also have grown a lot because they started to redo completely their website from front and back end. That hadn't evolved. So it had evolved, but hadn't changed mainly for the last 10 years. So as you can imagine, wow. It's a huge, huge job. They have been on it for more than a year now. And so the team has grown a lot. And with that, with new stacks of technology, new people coming in. So we have quite of challenges now to how can we handle the culture? How can we be better with so a fast growing team?
Well, I don't know what the banking environment is like in Canada. In America, if you're online banking, let alone your marketing stuff hasn't changed, you get devoured. It used to be that banks were selected based mm-hmm. on convenience. Is this bank down the street from me? Now it's based on how convenient is the online yep. presence.
And that's one of the real interesting things here in Banque Nationale is that they are aware of that a long time now ago, and they have started a real big and fast transformation, knowing that the industry is really changing. So they're giving them all the tools and the needs that can have. And it's a bank, so they have recourses for that to change. The technological stack that we have here, it's amazing. So you will bring a dev in and he will be like thrilled with the technology that we're working on. So that was also one of the things that I feel a little bit at home, even if it's a bank. And even to be fair, if I meet my 20-year-old myself in the street and I tell him, "Hey, now I'm 45 and I'm working in a bank," I think I will slap myself and say, what have you gone wrong? But it's a real good opportunity and I'm real happy here.
Well, and why wouldn't you take the things that you've learned and help an industry that's fallen behind?
Yeah.
Yep. Right? You're doing it's great because you won't keep riding in the same place when you've already gotten on the right path. You want to help others get on the right path. So I appreciate the 20-year-old you slapping you, and I actually really want to see that. But I also think if he could just calm down for a minute to listen to why, I think that
yeah,
would be
that's
great.
A fair point.
So this is really, really interesting. How do you – now, I know you said observing. You come in and you observe. But not only are you coming into an established team, you're coming into an established team that is constantly getting new players, because you have to have new people to manage that new technology. The old people aren't going to necessarily know the new stack. So like, just take me through – how long have you been there now?
It's been now 10 days.
10 days. Okay, well, this is perfect then. What is your plan?
Okay, so what I have done, I've met in one-on-one sessions over 40 people in the last 10 days. So mainly I've been talking to people and taking notes and then doing my favorite thing, asking questions. And 80% of those questions is just asking why and ask again why and then a third time why. And that gives a lot of information. And I've been sitting also, and the time that I have over, I'm sitting in meetings or sitting with the teams and just observing for a moment. And started to move some small pieces that can, what I call, be quick wins. Just also to show that I have some value to being here, but that's just to give me more confidence. And so that's mainly the thing I've been done until today. I have some one-on-ones left for the beginning of next week, and then I'm gonna start doing the same things with larger groups. So they work here in a little bit like Spotify has squads, you know, so teams, and right. We have like right now 10 squads. So I've been observing the squads. I've been going to the stand-ups. I'm going to a sprint planning this afternoon to see how they work. But I want to observe now. I've been talking to the individuals. Now I want to observe how they behave together. And in order to help me with that, I'm also observing a lot how the Scrum Masters work inside the teams, and also how they work outside with the organization. So that's because I need people to help me on the day to day, because when you're over 200, you cannot be in all places.
No, you've got to have a strong infrastructure to help execute and be able to hear. So how have you been received? I mean, it's only 10 days. I get that. But you have to have some sort of a sense of they're looking at me like their world is falling apart, or they're looking at me like everything is going to be better. So where in that spectrum are you feeling that they're accepting you?
I feel that they're accepting me in the sense of the bank brought someone in to listen to us. And to someone who seems to know what he's doing.
He knows the words that we use.
I think the fact that you sit down with that, like 20% of the staff in the first 10 days, that's a lot of people to meet and a lot of personalities. And I say, okay, I'm sitting here, even if it's a bank, so that you still have like roles and titles. And I came in with a manager title, even I'm not managing no one, because I think it's better for my job for the moment not to manage a team directly. That's so that I can move wherever I want to move, makes work easier. But say, okay, we're here to talk in a transparent way and in a trustful way. So what stays in, what is said in this room stays in this room. But I need that information. So even if people were like having trouble with some other people in the team and they didn't feel eager to share a name, I try to put them in that position that they feel trustful enough to share that name, because otherwise it's real hard to work on something. You say, there is a person, and then if I need 3 months to figure out who that person is, that's 3 months that I have lost in my job.
Right. How do you go about selecting the 40? How do you go about...
That's a good question. Right? So... I asked my manager to give me like a few names out that the people she think I should meet. And then when I meet people, I ask them to give me names of people they think I should meet. Smart. And so that makes like, And so at the end of the day, you have like a 40 people list.
That's amazing. So what are, and obviously without violating any of the confidentiality, but what are the questions that you're getting versus the things they're sharing? But what are the questions you're being asked?
It's always things that are the same problems that you see a lot coming around in big structures with real huge projects like that. It's how can we get more visibility on what's going on? Because the teams are really working real hard on a delivery. And so they are focusing on a short term, what they must deliver. And so what is all the strategic stuff going around and all the other pieces that come in and out, they don't have a view on that. And you see that there's a real need on the teams to understand that at least, or even not understand, but at least be informed on what's going outside their world to better understand what's going inside with their project.
Well, I mean, that's it, right? So if you're looking at this large group and you're trying to figure out how to facilitate any level of change, these 200 people have to buy in. They have to believe. And to your point, it's about establishing trust. And I think it was Jack Welch who said, you know, two of the pillars of a great organization are trust and transparency, mm-hmm. and the two cannot exist without each other.
I agree.
so when you're going through this, and obviously you're just 10 days in, you don't necessarily know 10% of what's really going on. So you can be transparent about who you are, transparent about what your goals are, and then over the next several months, you're going to find where the bodies are. So how do you plan for that, knowing that you're going to be in a constant state of change, but you're trying to make sure that you're communicating with everybody about the things you're finding?
So that's what I like of this part of the job when you come in, is that you have a real, in my case, naive point of view on everything, because you don't know nothing. So you listen to people, and then with time you also know that sometimes people overreact, or otherwise some people don't share all the information because they don't feel comfortable to do it, or they're not used to do it. So you must like a Sherlock Holmes put all the pieces together to see the big picture. But the main pain points that they come out real quickly. What's harder to see in so short time is how to fix them, and even where they are there, the pain points, because it's too easy to make a quick assumption saying, oh, this is because of that, especially after a week or so. You have real quick a good picture on what's going on, not why it's going on, and that's what, as a coach, I need to start helping the team to fix the pain point, is to understand the why. And that takes time.
Absolutely. So when you first take the job, and obviously you have people you're reporting into, when they ask you how long, because there has to be some sort of an established, I don't even want to say timeline, but mm-hmm. a goal. Like, do you share with them where you think, like, in the future you'll see progress and what that'll look like?
So that's a good question.
And if not, I'll delete this from this just in case.
Delete them.
When are we going to see something? Grab a calendar.
No. I share everything mainly on a daily basis. So I ask my manager how she's going to be sure that I have done a good job after a year, for example. And she gave me an answer that I was okay with, but we're going to dig more in that because we need more information. But she say, if the people are feeling and are doing better job in a year, that's that you have done a good job. So, but I think what's to gain trust that we're talking about earlier, you need to show quick wins real in the first part of my work. So you must really carefully choose someone that something that you know is going to be a quick fix. And I try, because I'm maybe a little bit lazy, to find something that I really understand and I already have done in other places, to say, okay, I know if I do this, is if I put this little trigger, it will have a good response inside the team. And so you gain trust.
Well, but that, yeah, and that makes perfect sense, because what you need trust, but you also need credibility.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and not just for the team, but for yourself, because you're coming into a kind of a crazy situation, and you need that reinforcement that, yes, I can do this.
Absolutely. So I know I'm a big guy, et cetera, and I have a strong voice, but I always doubting myself every second. So it's real important to see that the response of the people, that you're getting response of the people, even negative response, but you're seeing that things are changing. And what I've starting to do more that I did less before is also getting, like, you do a peer review when you do coding, for example, is find right. Some other people and saying, okay, I've done this because that. What do you think? Well, would you do it differently than the way I did it? And then so you can have like a talk and be challenged. So I have like a circle of other coaches. And we meet time to time just to do a peer review on our daily work and see where we can improve ourselves. And that's something that I love, like operations camp, because that's also what we do in operations camp, is sit for 2-3 days and talk about our stuff and see, okay, what do you do? How? Because at the end of the day, what I've learned after, 3 operations camps, I think, is we all have the same problems. We just right. handle them differently, and we have them on a more or less way, those problems. But the problems are always the same.
Yeah, no, they are. And it's interesting, because even though you have to dig deeper into what your manager said, I think this idea of looking at it from a quality and velocity and mm-hmm. culture as kind of 3 key metrics, right? That's going to be really interesting to see. It's going to be more than just a feel. it can't just be, hey, this was launched and it was fairly well received and we did it in a good time frame and everybody seems happy. That's you have to have something a little more measurable. Yeah. How are you thinking about that?
I did at Cosette, for example, for the first time. So Cosette at that time was really all the evaluation, yearly evaluation stuff was real a little bit oldish. And you had like a review by your manager and he said, okay, he did well here, not well there. And I didn't really agree on that way of doing things. So I asked my team to do my review for the year. And so they sat in a room for 1 hour, 30 minutes with me, telling me what mm-hmm. they, what has go well, what I didn't do well, what things that I could improve. And then they did a review by themselves for 30 minutes, and they sent that directly to my manager without me seeing that. And, wow. And so for that, you must really trust your team.
I'm so glad that I work with a small team, and for the most part, we work independently, because I would not be well in that situation. But,
for me, it was real good because there was some things there that I knew about myself that I need to improve. But seeing that people suffer from that, that was like a wake-up call for me, saying, oh, Garcia, you really need to get better on that. And there were like dumb things, but I had like one-on-one meetings with all my staff, and life in the agency is crazy. So I canceled time to time those meetings with people. And that was right. A real problem for people, because they felt less important. And I was aware right. It wasn't good to do it, but I was completely blind on the way that people had a real bad time with that. So and it's not much, but the fact that it comes back like real transparent and even a candor way by your team was say, okay, Garcia, you need to tell this, change this. And my manager would never have seen that or even tell me to do it.
No, it would have gotten yep. stuck, and it would have festered, and somebody would have
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
Right. So to be able to address it helps tremendously. So we have a little bit of time left, and I'm really curious, and I know you're just 10 days in and you're still figuring it out, but say we get to the end of your first year there, and from a structure perspective, and you know, I'm a big fan of flat-ish. How do you put in place a structure within a bank that allows you both flexibility and the ability to move and listen fairly quickly?
Yeah, that's for to be truly sincere. I'm still trying to figure that out, but what I have seen already, because I have friends that already work at the bank. I even have some people that were in my team at Cosette that came to the bank. So I already had conversations with them, and they're shifting the culture. So if you think of a bank, you see real like a pyramid, and that's really shifting. So you have more access directly to the big shots in here in the shop, and I've seen that even when I talk to my manager who has a real good high position here in the bank. I had my interview in the middle of the team, so. So it was an access. So if people wanted to listen what was going on, they could, and they could see that they were hiring someone.
Wow.
And so, and to be sincerely true, I felt a little bit awkward at the first minutes of the interview.
Yeah.
But but after that, I was like, okay, let's do this. And so it's going to be a challenge, because it's easier for the managers to say, okay, we're changing and we're going to be more in a lean way of doing things and more flat way. And it's easier to say to them than for the teams saying, okay, is it real or is it just a way that we say we're going to do it? So it's again, right. it's a work of trust, and see if they eat their own dog food, as I often say, then it's going to be real quick and help the teams, but they must show the path that, yeah, that's where we're going.
Well, Garcia, I am going to put in my calendar to check back in with you in 6 months so that we can record again and see how things are going, and then maybe again in a year, because I think this is a fascinating endeavor that you've taken on. I've always questioned your sanity a little bit. Now I definitely know. But what an amazing opportunity, and what a great person for them to have gotten in that role. So congratulations, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
That's your kind call. It's a real pleasure talking with you.